Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome to More Insight. Greetings, Kingdom citizens. We thank you for joining us tonight on a Sister Girl Network Inc. platform ordained by God. For we give God all praise and glory. Hallelujah. We invite you to dial in to be a part of our conversation, or you can link in at blogtalkradio.com/more insight. Call in number 516-595-8307. Praise God. So tonight we're going to do part two of last week, which was dealing with the battles of the day and the night. We end last week with dreams. We did not finish all the dreams, so we have to finish dreams because we stopped at dreams erasers. So we have to finish that part. Then we'll go into moving the loopholes in your warfare. That will be next after that, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, we honor and we praise you. Lord, we give you all glory because you are wonderful. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you, we honor and we praise you because you are Jehovah Rapha, our healer. And so, Lord, we come to your throne boldly. Hallelujah. With a humble heart, asking you to cleanse our hearts and renew our right spirit. Lord, we ask that you go before us, hallelujah, and make the path clear in the name of Jesus. And we bind the spirit of distraction. We bind the spirit of interference over the technology, over the atmosphere, over you and me in the name of Jesus. And we loose upon our technology, upon our atmosphere, and upon me and you, peace. Hallelujah. Increase of discernment in the name of Jesus. We loose upon us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for joining us tonight on More Insight. I'm your host, Angela D. Our platform on More Insight, spiritually minded, is peace and life. And so we're in our ninth year, Sister Girl Network, Inc., ninth year, and we're walking in spiritual authority. Oh, how wonderful is that to be at that point, to understand your power and your authority through the Holy Spirit, to know that a spiritual mind that is peace and life, but carnal mind is enemy against God. Romans 8 tells us that. So we've been talking about spiritual things. We've been talking about the other part of our journey, the other part of our life as kingdom citizens. And so last week was dealing with the battles of the day and night. And so if you want to hear part one, just go on blogtalkradio.com/more insight. And you can also follow us on More Insight. That way you get a notification when we're about to air. And so let's finish up where we left off last week at Dream Erasers. And we didn't do all of them, right? We didn't do all of them. And so tonight we're going to finish up Dream Erasers, and then we're going to touch on why we should pay attention to our dreams, and we're going to end that part two of the dealing with battles of the dream, dealing with the battle of the day and night. We're going to end it with Dream Erasers, but we're going to end it with talking about interpretation, and we're going to use Joseph, right? Genesis 41:1-4. So we're going to go through that. So When we look at dream erasers, enchantment or bewitch, to charm, not to see, and you will not see, okay? Now, they are dream erasers, right? Then we have superstition. As kingdom, we should not be superstition, right? And so some of us grew up with family members that believe in certain things. And so, you know, that's why it's a relearn, a renew mindset, because those things become a part of us. And sometimes we're operating in them unaware, and then sometimes we are aware. But superstition is a dream eraser. Worry and anxiety is a dream eraser. Pity party is a dream eraser. Waking up suddenly or disturbed from your sleep is a dream eraser. And that's one of the things, right? That's like, you know, I used to, before the new creature, I used to really get upset when someone would wake me up and I get disturbed in my sleep, or I wake up suddenly because I automatically forget what I was dreaming. And a lot of the times I wanted to know it was something going on in those dreams. I understand now, but back then I didn't, right? So even when it happened now, automatically learned to pray about it, right? To pray about everything, be anxious for nothing. Another dream eraser is demonic attack. When we under a demonic attack, whether it's through a curse, whether it's through generational curse, whether it's through something that we have touched or made agreement with, it erases our dreams. Another dream eraser, covering a backwardness. A covering of backwardness, when we're moving backward, when we're backsliding, those are dream erasers. And then another one is aggressive spirit, husbands or wives, and they operate jealously and will not allow the victim to recall any dreams. And so as time go on, we're going to talk about that, spiritual husbands and wives, because some of us may feel as we never can find a mate, okay? And so we're dealing with loneliness, but then sometimes that situation become internal, where we feel like it's something we have done or did, you know, or even doing. And so sometimes it's certain things we have touched and certain things, but sometimes we're under these attacks, right? Because we're not aware of what's going on, or because years ago we did something, touched something, opened the door to something. And so it's not always a thing where we want to be in a position where we condemn ourselves. That's why the word of God says, for my people perish because of lack of knowledge. This is knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that as kingdom citizens, we must know. God is spirit. And so we have to understand the spirit being that we are, for we was created in his image, right? And so those are some dream erasers. Now, why should we pay attention to our dreams and not ignore them? After all, don't the world tells us that they are no big deal? And no, it's probably something you ate. The first reason is that God can bring assurance, encouragement, comfort, and direction to you in your dream. He can bring instruction, guidance, corrections to you in your dream. The second reason is that dreams can bring us a revelation of the plans and the purpose of God for our lives. He has declared that he would speak to us through dreams and visions. This means that God used dreams as vehicles of divine communication. I shared some of this last week, and in your time, go back and listen. Dreaming and vision is a part of our life. It's in the Word of God. And so we have to be willing to thirst and hunger for new revelation, for understanding about dreams. Understanding how important it is not to ignore them. The third reason is that God does significant things with dreams. For example, he gave a covering. Genesis 15 was given to Abraham in a dream. The supernatural gift of Samuel was also given to him in a dream. So that's why we cannot ignore our dreams. We have to pay attention to our dreams, right? They are really a part of our spiritual part of our life, which affects us in the natural. They are very essential to our life, right? And so sometimes we have to recognize when a pattern has started, and we might was dreaming all the time for years, and then all of a sudden we're not dreaming, or we dream a couple months and then it stops. And so we have to recognize when those things are happening. Are we dealing with certain dream erasers? So that's why I just shared with you. We finished up the dream erasers, right? We finished those up. I just shared with you why it's important to not ignore them. So then let's talk about the principles for interpreting dreams. You know, sometimes when someone had a certain dream and it put them at, sometimes it's an uneasy dream, right? You feel a certain way. You're not sure what you dream, but you just feel uneasy in your spirit. And so that's, in those cases, when we are not able to remember our dream, we know we dream kind to war. We have to understand is that there's a reason that your dreaming is being blocked, right? There's a reason that you're not able to recall them. And so as I go into dream interpretation, interpreting our dreams, as I give a few principles, you're going to see that one of the main principles in interpreting our dreams is to write them down. Make a note of it. Make a note of it. You know, sometimes I go back through that week and I see, you know, certain dreams. Like I might have dreamed something on Monday, but it seems like it's all connected in a message that's being sent to me. Or even, and it's even with that, it's a thing where it understand what's going on, what's the plan, even if it's not good dreams, right? Even if I see things that are not good to be seen, you know, I still know, you know, whether I'm under attack or certain things. See, we don't want to deal with those things because we feel like those things are so difficult and I don't want to do all that. But see, when we try to do as far as deal with the spirit realm and our own effort, yeah, it become creepy, it become fearful, it become standoffish because I don't want to touch that. But see, when we do it through the Holy Spirit, when we ask God to send forth his host of angels, his warring angels, when we download, when we speak the word of God into existence, our weapon of warfare, it shifts everything. So when we're not able to remember the dream, but we dream, we need to pray. We need to pray. But say we remember some of the dreams, right? When we look at Genesis 41:1-4, And it talks about how Joseph, his interpretation was a dream given to him by Pharaoh. Now, I'm just going to give you the gist of it. 41:1-4, you can go on, read that. And then Genesis 41:15-31. Genesis 41:15-31. And that's how Joseph started interpreting through God, though. This is through God when we do this, right? Because it takes the Holy Spirit to give you true interpretation. Why? Because it's the spirit thing, right? It's the spirit thing. We must learn. We walk in a spiritual authority. We must learn that kingdom is spiritual. That's why we are constantly being pushed from a carnal mind to a spiritual mind. And so Genesis, for 2 full years, Pharaoh dreamed, and they called Joseph, who began to interpret the dream. Now you go back and read it on your own time. But number one, the principle for interpreting your dream. Number one, make a note of it so you will not forget. Have a book by your bedside. Have a dream diary, but make a note. Never deceive yourself into thinking that you're going to remember, because you won't. Number two, understand that most dreams are simple. They have symbols. That is, they are parables or doxans. That is why it is wrong to run into action on the basis of a dream that has not been interpreted. Like somebody dreamed they was in a car dealer, and they get ready to drive off with this Mercedes. And so, you know, they wake up and say, oh, God telling me I got a big vehicle waiting on me. And they go to the car dealer. We have to understand that there's symbols, that car representing something. Even the car lock is representing the people that you see, the details, the dreams. It's all about details and dreams. It's all about details and dreams. So, one, have a dream diary. Write, have something by your bed to write them down so you don't forget. Understand that most dreams are symbols. They're dealing with symbols. They are parables, right? Three, pray and ask God to reveal the meaning to you. Daniel 1:17 says, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Look at what is written in Daniel 5:11-2. God gave him that skill. One thing for me, when the knowledge of understanding that dreaming, when I already had knew that when we close our eyes and we lay down, right? I already knew that our body was dead, but I didn't know nothing else. But as years went on and me studying and seeking and thirsting, and God got me to this point where now I'm getting this understanding, this wisdom about dreaming, right? That's our spirit man, and, you know, understanding all that. And I would dream all the time. I dream all the time. But it was a point in my life where I started asking God, Lord, I want to be able to interpret my dreams. I want to have such an understanding of them that to the point that I can help others, right? Because at this point, I realized how much they affect our daytime life, our natural life. And so God gave me that, right? He gave me the ability to interpret, but still to the point where I still have to go to the Father. So three is to pray and ask God to reveal the meaning to you. Four, most dreams can be understood if you break them into pieces. Now, although some dreams can be understood by revelation, most dreams can be understood if you break them into pieces, symbol by symbol, and with that, you got to understand what the symbols mean. Pray for revelation. Do not give up. That's one thing about the dreaming, right? Because sometimes we dream and it's further away, right? We're not dreaming in the present. We're dreaming in the future. We're dreaming about things that's going to happen years from now, right? Months from now. I tell you, I when I dream like that in the world, when I dream like that, I used to say, oh, deja vu, right? But now I understand that that's part of who I am. I can dream in the future. And I tell you, this is how important our dream life is. It was a sister girl. She's still a sister girl, because once a sister girl, always a sister girl. But I still talk to her often. And so I know how we connected, right? And years before I met her, I had this dream, right? And this dream, it kind of made me uncomfortable, right? Because I can remember after the dream, I was saying, oh, nah, that can't be me. Who did I dream about? So, of course, years go on. And so happened she was going something, and I was doing one-on-ones with her. And a word she said in the conversation triggered a dream. And it came back as if I just had dreamed it the night before. And when I shared the dream with her, she bust out crying because she said, no one knew that but God, right? Oh, that's how important dreams are, right? And so that was even God helping her, right? Letting her know she wasn't alone, right? Because no one knew it but God. She knew it had to come from God. But it blew me because I couldn't put a date on when I dreamed it, but I knew it had been years before I even met her. That's how important our dreams are. Then sometimes when we're dreaming, you know, they get broken up. Like we dreaming, we might dream that we're in a house, right? We in this room, right? And then the next day I know it is shift. Your dream is shift. And then now you at a cookout or a party or something. And so that's why we have to break it into pieces, right? Then another way to help us interpret dreams. Identify the main thing or the concept of the dream. Immediately you have a dream, identify its main theme or concept. Sometimes we have to look at what is the main thing in it, right? That's why I said details, right? What was the main concept, the theme of it? What was the main thing, right? The main thing. I have had dreams, like I tell people all the time, don't eat in your dreams. You have to be careful even when you're dreaming and you're trying to escape one enemy. You know it's an enemy, but then you escape to another enemy, but they come, you know, as sheep in wool clothing. A story a brother man told me is that he was in a fight and he got out the building, right, and looked back, wasn't nobody there. But then when he turned the corner, there was another gang after him or whatever, right? And he sees this boat, and he gets in this boat, right? But when he gets in the boat, it looked like it's sinking. And so here come an alligator. Now, of course, you're going to be fearful of the alligator, but the alligator seems so friendly. He gets on the alligator back and gets to the other side. But in reality, that's leaving one enemy for another. Now, what do an alligator do? Crush us, eat us. And so we have to be willing to find the main thing and the concept of the dream. then we have to realize that we have to locate your initial impression about the dream when you woke up, right? That's why you have to be very adamant about writing your dreams down. See, dreams from God will not terrorize us. Dreams from God will not strike us with terrible fear unless we disobedient children. Numbers are very important, so we have to note when we see numbers in our dreams. We have to note whether the dream is being repeated. Repetition of a dream is a sign that you have not addressed it. It is still there. That is what the dream is telling you. Now, it could also mean that the issue is current or urgent, right? More difficult a dream is, the more important it is to your life. In the Bible, we see that difficult dreams was important ones in the lives of dreamers. Just because a dream is difficult does not mean that we should not know the meaning. Another principle of dream interpretation, ask questions after dreaming. Ask questions such as, what was I doing in the dream? What was the major contents of the dream? Like sometimes when we do that, like when we question, that's why it's good to ask questions when we don't know anything. It's okay for people to question, because when we ask questions or someone questions us, it automatically makes you think, right? It brings you to a conscious state of thinking and reason, right? You're coming out the subconscious. You're no longer on your emotions or your experiences, but you come to a place of thinking and reason. That's why questions are good. And so you have to ask questions. What was I doing in the dream? What were the major contents of that dream? Were related in that dream? What were the major symbols in that dream? By the time you piece together the symbols, you would get the answers, right? Another thing, we have to remember that every nightmare is a cry of an oppressed spirit. I said last week, right, that I can remember as a young girl, family members, and my dad, he did not fellowship, right? But he knew of God. He knew of God. He would say certain things. And so, you know, and he said the prayer. He tells me the prayer. You know, we all knew that prayer because it wasn't him. It was our honor ours. And so now I lay me down to sleep. You might even have heard it, but ain't that so awesome thing to teach your children now that you understand prayer? Dreams, and not only your children, your children's children, your grandchildren, your little nieces, your nephew, your cousins, everybody that you know, share that, right? Because, see, I can remember my dreams when I was younger. I can remember certain tormenting things that I was going through, right? Even to the point where when I stopped doing all that, stopped not even dreaming at all, not knowing that that wasn't even good, you know, that last dream, that somebody was erasing my dreams, somebody was stealing my dreams, but God. Another principle of dreams can release divine creativity. You know, God can give you your creativity, your brainstorm, or whatever you might need through a dream. Okay, so those are a few things, some principles that I wanted to share with you all when it comes down to dreaming, right? When it comes down to dreaming. And so this was the part two left over from last week. To hear part one, you need to go on to Blog Talk blogtalkradio.com/more insight. The title is Dealing with the Battles of the Day and the Night. And so what I realized yesterday, that I will have to bring the dreams, because we have to touch on spiritual husbands and wives. And so I will bring that in every Monday, regardless of the new topic. Okay, so we're going to stop here with that, with dreams. And so we'll bring it in next week to touch some more on dreams, and eventually bring in the spiritual husband and wife, because we got to talk about dream pollution. We have to touch on all that. We really do. We have to understand the danger of it, right? Things that we're touching and doing and how they affect our dreams. We got to understand why it's so important for us not to be having sex in our dreams, not to be eating in our dreams, certain things we shouldn't be doing in our dreams. We have to understand that when we see certain things in our dreams, so we have to learn some of the symbols. We have to learn some of the symbols in order to know what to pray, right, in order to help us interpret our dreams. Because as we learn the different symbols, go back to what I said, it put everything together. It helps us interpret it. And then we have to know that even in our dreams, you know, are we dealing with curses and all. So we have to do all those things. We don't want to leave it half done. Praise God. So let's get to the next part, tonight's topic, moving the loopholes in your warfare. Like when we look at loopholes, right, we already know that that loopholes are found everywhere in every area of our lives. And I walk in truth, because truth be told, if they are not there, us in our flesh, right, we will attempt to add them, you know, if it opened up a escape for us. Loopholes are a means of escape. Now, we're not talking about looking at no loop through the Word of God, because I ain't into all that. The Word of God is true. And when you understand that, history of the Word of God, the history of who you are in Christ, you don't even get all caught up in all that stuff, right? Because then the thirst and hunger of you trying to understand who you are for real, but to all the books you need to be reading, besides the King James Version or any of those other interpretations, right? So we're not going there. We're talking about loopholes in your warfare. Ephesians 4 tells us, do not grieve the Spirit, nor give a place to the devil. You can't move the warfare, but we can impact the loophole, changing the advantage. It is very important that we understand that it is the lack of knowledge that destroys us. Lack of knowledge. You need to know who you are. You need to understand your life as God's chosen one, priest, holy nation, holy priesthood, his peculiar people. One rule in spiritual warfare is to stick to the source, the Holy Spirit, and your spiritual weapons. When God sent his one and only begotten Son to save us, he left us with a comforter and a helper, the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit, we get to war against the spirit realm in the natural earth. That's what it's about. Because Satan is the father of this world. We must know our legal rights. One of the rules God has set up is that if a person hold on to anger or any other negative emotional reaction A demon has a legal right to live inside that person. Now, this is spoken of in Ephesians 4, 26 through 27, where we are told not to hold on to the anger past sundown, which marks the end of the Jewish day, lest we give the devil an opportunity, a legal right, to cause trouble from inside out, from inside of us. Oh, yeah. See, when you hear that, don't let the anger go past sundown. You know I'd have heard that all in the world, right? Think that's coming from the world. Now, that's from the Word of God. That's from the Word of God. Now, you might have heard, like, don't be going to bed angry, you know, when you marry. Oh, don't let that anger go past to the next day or stuff like that. Same thing. But now we know, right? It's from the Word of God. Behold, I sent you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. when we look at our enemy, they use a common loophole in our trials and tribulation, and that's flesh and blood. The Word of God tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Oh, but Satan distracts us with flesh and blood to miss the true enemy, him and his demonic activities. And so how will you choose the loopholes that come? How would you close the loopholes that come to steal, kill, and destroy? See, our soul dictates how we perceive things. It touches our emotions. Now, what is your soul? Because we have to understand that's the war. That's why the warfare will not be moved, because it contends with your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Right? That's your soul. So our soul dictates how we perceive things because it touches our emotions. Oh, Satan. See, Satan works from the outside to influence the inside. All right? See, he moves things. He interrupts things. He distracts us in things. He used the things of the flesh, tangible things, to entice man's soul into sin. Many of us fight the wrong thing, flesh and blood. Spiritually minded teaches us to put the enemy on a chopping block, not God, and tragedy. We can blame God instead of warn against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness of this age, and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. You can't leave that part out. This is Ephesians talks about this. Spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. See, as we thirst and hunger after righteousness, when we do that, it pushes us closer to the Father. We get to the Word of God. The Word of God is our weapon. When we speak the Word into the atmosphere, shift there. When we speak it over our trials and our tribulations, it shifts. When we speak it over bad relationship, when we speak it over our body, it shifts. I had a brother man tell me the other day in our conversation, and yes, sister girls, we do have brother men. You know, we don't have more brother men than sister girls, but we have brother men, and we thank God for the men. Hallelujah. And so in our conversation the other day, he was saying, you know, well, God created everything. And that is true. And so, but it takes me back to saying the history, right? Because if we don't know, read, understand, or even learn about the book of Enoch, the fallen angels, which was called the watchers, if we don't read, understand that, right, we would miss the block, right? I mean, we're going to miss it because we're going to blame God for everything. But in all that, when the watchers, the fallen angels came to earth, they came to earth, and I'm not going to go deep into it, but in your reading, study to show yourself approved. Seek this info. This is what's going to move you from that carnal mindset to a spiritual mindset, the knowledge, okay? When the fallen angels come to earth because the women was beautiful, because ain't no angels are men. They men, they masculine men, okay? And so when they looking at the women on earth, when they looking at the women on earth, they see them beautiful. They are amazed. It enticed them. And so they come to earth and they have babies and end up being giants and all this and all that. But even with these fallen angels, which they was called watchers, they was watching, they was angels watching the earth, right? That's why when they seen the women, you know, it intrigued them and all. But why they was on earth, not just having sex with the women that was on earth, right? They was given the wisdom and the knowledge that God created, trust them with it. They shared it to the earth, and it wasn't time. So even though God created, when we look at the horoscopes and all that stuff, oh yeah, that was a part, but that was wisdom. And wisdom that was not supposed to come to earth when it did at that time. And so it became wicked. It became wicked. That's why the Noah days was so wicked. They was crossing DNA. They was crossing blood. They was putting humans with animals so you would get a human head and an animal. But that's the wickedness that the Word of God talks about when it talks about Noah days. That type of wickedness, right? All that crossbreed and all that, oh my gracious, giants and all, right? So that's the history of it. Even when the Word of God tells us in Matthew 24, you know, one thing always stood out to me. Matthew 23, it talks about the Pharisees and the scribes, the religion folks. And I mean, Jesus goes from one side up about them, you know, and you'll read it, Matthew 23. What always amazed me is that soon after that, right, You go to Matthew 24, and now we are being told, Jesus is telling us that, you know, that we're going to be going back to Noah's day. When you see that, when you see Noah's day, and also will be the coming of the Son of Man. See, it's certain prophecies we have to see. We have to see certain prophecies come to our foe. And so that's why the Word of God tells us no one know when God will come, when the end will be. No one know. But see, certain prophecies have to come. But even in that, when we look at Revelations and we look at different seals and trumpets and stuff, and we already know some of those has been done, right? That's why it is an urgency for the transformation of our mind to move us from a carnal mindset. See, it's an urgency to stop dipping and dabbing, to move how God needs you to move. Because see, in reality, for real, you don't know who God need to come your way, right? You don't know how God wants to use your life and someone you don't even know, but God knows the connection will be what is needed to say that soul. And not only that soul, the soul's connected to them. Go back to share about that sister girl. That sister girl was one soul, but through her, it's like six other souls that's connected to this platform. We have to be broken from that religion spirit. We have to understand that our kingdom is spiritual. We have to be willing to go to the transformation by the renewing of our mind. We must understand that our life with Christ is not a life of bondage, but a life of freedom. Jerusalem Bible reads it like this, right? It says, the unspiritual are interested only in what is unspiritual, but the spiritual are interested in spiritual things. It is death to limit oneself to what is unspiritual. Life and peace can only come with concern for the spiritual. That is because to limit oneself to what is unspiritual is to be at a enemy with God. Such a limitation never could and never does submit to God's law. People who are interested only in unspiritual things can never be pleasing to God. You know, I remember I was sharing with you all on this platform talking about different words, right? We have to even understand how Satan, his kingdom, his world, how they take certain words and they, Satan is an accuser. He's an imitator. Everything of God, he tried to imitate. And see, that's why we got to be careful with religion, because when we look at religion, they dab here, they pull from this, and then they got their own book or whatever, whatever, you know, God help them. And so my thing is when we look at the word spiritual, how it take that has been taken down, and you got to question that. Well, what spirit are you talking about? Are you talking about the Holy Spirit? Praise God. Test every spirit, okay? You got to test every spirit. And so we embrace our warfare to understand is that we have the power and authority to step on a serpent hair and a scorpion head and power over the enemy. And by any means, nothing will help us. But to get to that point, there's things we must do. See, we must understand why praying and praying without ceasing and praying and fasting and all these instructions that we have been given was not to bring a burden on us, but to free us. To free us, right? Even free us from the hands of the enemy. Because even when the warfare touch come, it don't affect us in that matter. Then we understand when God said he have given us the peace to pass all the understanding. We get it then. Let's look at a couple loopholes. And we're talking about moving the loopholes in your warfare. A couple loopholes. The appearance of. We must be free from appearance of. Because when we worry about the appearance of, how we look, how this looked to this person, and how this person was able, and they looked this way, it messed you up. It allowed loopholes. It's open loopholes. What type of loopholes it open? The condemnation spirit. You're always comparing yourself with one another. Another loophole, flesh and blood. God never said that a haughty heart, an angry, mean, or bitter person will not hurt when the attack from them come at you. He didn't say that. What we have been given is to look behind that flesh and blood to see the spirit that's attacking us, abusing us, raping us, manipulating us, using us, deceitful, lying on us. We got to look at those spirits because that's what we war against. So it don't matter the flesh and blood that's in front of us, whether it's our mother, our father, our husband, our wives, our sister, our brother, cousin, pastor. It don't matter. Those loopholes that the enemy used, flesh and blood. Another one is my autumn medication. It's hard for us now when we think about it, right? Because some of the medication we've been taking, and even a sister girl had to remind me of this, you know, because sometimes we have to be reminded. And she was sharing with me that even when you try to stop that type of medication, whether through the doctor or you choose to do it yourself, there's side effects, right? And which is so true because our body get used to that. But we just have to become conscious, right? Thinking that reason. We need to come to a conscious state when we with our doctors, right? And I allow the Holy Spirit to be a part of that conversation and tell us what to ask and what to do and what not to do. Because some of the medications are loopholes for the spirit realm. Altering your mind. That rather is pharmaceuticals or illegal drugs. When I did drugs, they alter your mind. Ain't no way around it. But see, now we know we got some pharmaceutical medicine that ain't no joke. And it's altering your mind. Those are loopholes. Those are loopholes for the enemy. Another loophole, holding on to emotional pain. I know it is so easy for us to justify our pain, right? When we've been hurt, that's real talk. But that is a loophole for the enemy. Because anger turns into bitterness, and bitterness turns into wrath. And all those touch your heart, and your heart become hardened. And everybody around you, they ain't got nothing to do with that emotional pain, feels it. They feel it because they around you. It's still your peace. It's still your joy. It brings limitations on your life. That is a loophole for the enemy, holding on to emotional pain. Why are loopholes important? Let's visualize this for a minute. Why are loopholes important? Let's visualize being in a tent. And the tent is to shield us from the elements outside, right? But each day, the elements, they get worse and worse. And it might be a little rain, but as time go on, you're getting hail and you're getting heavy snow and the wind has picked up. But the tent job is to protect us against these extreme temperatures, right? And so we're going to make sure every crack and corner is sealed. We're going to put stakes at the bottom, make sure ain't nothing coming at the bottom, at the top. That's the same with our life. We are that tent. Satan's kingdom is extreme temperatures that's coming to kill, steal, and destroy. But not just you. Your children, generation and generations to come. We see what's going on. When we are touched, when your children, even when we was little, if we was touching our innocence in any ungodly way, whether it was incest, abuse, emotional neglect, there's different things that we hold on to and we have to go through the process. But in our young days and our children, a certain part of our mind when we're young, we're easily influenced, right? That's why Satan after the children, they easily influence. He will have a generation that will call, they doing it now, but he wants a whole generation call the wrong right and right wrong. He's building his army. That's the army. How does one close loopholes? We must recognize the loopholes and reveal the source. Secondly, we must be willing to do our part. We have a part in this journey. And I know we was taught, you know, most of us was taught that you ain't got to do nothing. God got it. You know, you ain't got to be fighting, doing all that. Oh, no, you got the part in this journey. You have a part. You have a part to play. Third, we walk in spirit and truth. It is a daily, constant part of our lives as kingdom of God. Truth, we embrace truth. Excuse me, because we understand it is the truth that convicts us. And we okay getting convicted in our mess. We know we ain't always doing right, but that's okay, right? Long as we're trying, long as we're not willingly sinning, right? That's where we want to get. And it is a process to get there. So you have a part to play. You have a part to play. So, as we end tonight, because I want to get our prayer, I want to leave with a prayer, and because we can always finish the rest, because we got to talk about some other loopholes, the lying wonders, signs and symbols, Holy Spirit. Versus sensual. That's what we see now. We'll get into details about that. You know, that's when the Holy Spirit is when they mix in some of the world with things of God. Okay? You're talking about Baal religion, fake religions. 1 Kings 18 talks about that. So that's some loopholes we got to get into. Then we got to talk about procrastination versus preparation. That's part of this topic. Moving the loopholes in your warfare. I'm going to leave you with this scripture, Minister Word, Proverbs 24:27. Prepare your work outside. Get everything ready for yourself in the field. After that, build your house. That's preparation. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We have to stick to the resource that strengthens us. Hallelujah. It is a very important rule in the spiritual warfare. In the name of Jesus, power that has been supplying strength to our problems and our life be wasted in the name of Jesus. We refuse to swim in the ocean of problems in the name of Jesus. Every remotely controlled problem energized by household wickedness be devoured by the line of Judah in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we refuse to be kept busy by the devil in the name of Jesus. We refuse in the name of Jesus. We receive the power to close down every satanic factory designed for us in the name of Jesus. Angels of blessing begin to locate us now for our own blessings in this program in the name of Jesus. Power behind accidental problems. We remove ourselves as a candidate, fall down and die in the name of Jesus. We receive the power to break every circle of problems in the name of Jesus. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over us from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, over our goings and our comings. We plead the blood of Jesus over our home, over our husbands and wives, over our children, from generation to come. We decree and declare it done in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Well, that ends the call for tonight. I did get the prayer into the recorder, but I think we got cut off, but God is good. But I thank you all for joining us tonight on More Insight, where we're at Spiritually Minded is Peace and Life. May God continue to bless you, sister, girl, and brother, man. You are greatness. Good night and God bless.